Muskies are stupid. Musky fishing sucks. I bought one lure and it cost $100. My wife, she left me cause all I do is fish. But I don't
all right, folks.
Oh, man.
That was some that was some bluegrass in Tyler.
That was some bluegrass there right there, boy.
Oh, boy, boy, I tell you what, this is America.
This is America. We're going to get dumb shrimp down the bayou.
That is a absolute bluegrass hit from Tyler Andrews and the Bottom Raiders.
Yeah, we're branching out into new genres. You know, we're kind of getting tired of doing the same heavy death metal, like Kiss Me Like a Sucker music. Like
right.
Kind of shit, yeah.
Some of those other Northwoods classics.
Yeah, we're trying different stuff. We're using spoons, jugs, boards, jugs.
Just a little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything. Soda cans.
Is it my southern influence on you, Tyler?
Yeah, you give me too much Pepsi Clear Shine.
Pepsi Clear Shine.
Woo! You listen here, boy. This is musky country.
This is musky country. I'm going to wrestle that pig over there.
Wrestle that pig. Anyway, folks, you've tuned in for the dumbest musky podcast on planet Earth. It's the Musky 360 podcast. Anyway, Tyler, I wanted to pick your brain about biggins.
Huh?
Biggins?
Big what, you say?
Big what, you say?
Oh, how big? How big?
Very big.
You talking like 8 inches?
Big. Oh, I want to talk about magnums.
Magnums.
The bigger the better.
Bigger the better. Size matters.
Size matters.
Matters. Size matters in the fall.
So anyway, Guru, me and you have been running the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
As whether it's up north, whether it's down south, it's transition time. Like, and we've been so impressed, and we love everybody that's been riding in. Everybody's been like sort of jumped on that rock bite we talked about, you know, getting offshore that early bite. Me and you are starting to see, and it's that time of year where bigger's better. Size matters. It's time to break out the big stuff.
You got to go big or go home, boy.
Go home. But all joking aside, I like it big. I like it big. All joking aside. No, it's honestly like this time of year when we start, the temp's dropping, you know, and it can be a matter of shortened daylight. It can be biological pressure on these fish that more often than not that big baits matter. I mean, it's just a thing, like, you know, today for me, like, it was a grinder. It was a tough day. It was cold front. The only thing that worked was a 12 inch hellhound, like, or 10 inch, however big that thing is, like the biggest hellhound they make. Right. That was it. Whereas most of the year, you're going to hear us like we've been screaming. Well, we've been screaming, Tyler. Downsize, downsize, downsize. You hear,
we like it little. Get small. Get small with it.
Get small. No, nothing happened. Go small. We're getting into that time of year. We're sort of already there where it's going to matter if you're willing to upsize. Sometimes shock and all, that's all that's going to pay off.
This time of year, it's just like it's all about energy input versus output. You know, they want high energy input with low energy output, and they wanna get fat and sit on the couch and eat pizza.
Are you trying to get are you trying to get scientific with me?
I'm half trying.
Two out of three.
One out of three.
Three out
one
of two.
Three out of one.
Three, nine of 12.
Swifty, 9 of 12.
Swifty 5.
I'm getting swifty with it.
Swifty 5, yes. Anyway,
yes.
A lot of it. I mean, no, I like what you're saying, though, because it's really a science of the matter that it's a matter of caloric intake versus caloric output. So these fish are thinking about bigger meals and expending less energy to get them. you know, so it's a matter of slowing down. It's a matter of going with big baits. And that maybe, you know, maybe if you're throwing double eights, it's time to throw tens if you're on a blade bite. But that 6-inch glider might need to be an 8-inch. It might need to be a 10-incher. Size matters. Better make it big. Do you like 8 inches or 10 inches, Tyler? What do you prefer?
I like a mean 12. You like a mean 12.
All right. Wow. Wow.
Drop me.
Revelations here on the podcast. Tyler Andrews. Mean 12.
You got it. Yes, sir.
As of late, I've been liking a flat 9, you know? So it's just flat. 9-inch shallow raider. Been doing the do. With that is, you know, and one thing me and you've talked about a lot this week when we're sort of, and for everybody, if you can believe it, me and Tyler probably talk all, like, we do 9 podcasts a week. It's just me and you on the phone.
Hey, Steve.
Hello,
how's your dinner?
Let's act out our normal conversation. Hello, Tyler.
Hello, Steve.
How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good, yeah.
Goodbye. That's it. That's pretty much all day. But, you know, it really boils down to, we've been talking a bunch. You've been seeing it. I've been seeing it. Where Magnum crankbaits, Magnum, whether it be like the big shallow raider, 10-inch Jake, 12-inch Jake, 14-inch Jake, straight 8-inch depth raiders. We're getting into that bigger size class where nothing's going to happen unless you're moving some water. You know,
they're big. I mean, you know, our friend Steve up in Wisconsin that we saw mm-hmm. throwing pounders in the gunwale of his boat all day.
He was about to start
kicking ass.
He was
ready
in July or June.
In July.
If you listen, this time right now, if you start throwing pounders on opener, you're more ready than everybody right now.
I mean, he's got the muscle mass, got the muscle like memory.
Uh-huh.
He's built it up, so he can throw pounders probably 22 hours a day. I mean, it's
you're really delving into something that's really not discussed in muskie fishing, is that entire season conditioning for now.
Yes.
That if you're working a 14-inch Jake as a jerk bait and you're throwing double tail Magnum pounder it opener, you're ready for now.
I mean, you've worked the entire season of
in preparation.
Maybe catching one fish or no fish.
right. But now
you're gonna catch like 2 fish.
Now it's on. you're just ready. I mean, it all comes down to now. So,
right, meow.
Right, meow. You've been like Booker says, run the play. That guy was running the play from like season opener.
I mean, he's a visionary. He knows what he's doing.
Visionary. But like that dude we saw on Lake of the Woods, or you've seen on Lake of the Woods, throwing multiple deuces at one time on Alabama Ricks. That guy knew how to go big or go home. He probably went home with a big zero. But, you know, in all honesty, of what we're always trying to convey on the podcast, me and talk about all week, is like, what's coming up? What's going on now? What's this very moment? What's going to be next week? What's going to be going into the season? And it's just like the guys that are turning the corner, getting off the rock bite, getting onto the break lines, getting into big baits. That is the next bite, if not the bite that's right now. You know, this week, like I said, the Magnum 9-inch shallow raider has been productive for me. 12-inch Jakes on the troll. So, you know, and those are two different baits. It's just like, if you look at like a Jake or a grandma or a shallow raider, you know, as far as flat sided minnow baits, they all have their own thing. And me and you've talked about a lot of times about how fat the wobble is on the 9-inch shallow raider.
They got a big fat wobble.
You like it fat? You like the wobble? It's for you.
I mean, I'm going to start. I'm going to be up north. This weekend I was up north.
Are you
up north? That's how we say it up here, Steve. We say up north, not up north. Up north.
There for a millisecond, you sounded like Pete Maina. Old Steve.
Old Steve. Up north.
Up north. You lost it, but for a second. But no, on Austin, what's the plan? Is that like what you're thinking? Like Nine Inch Shell Raiders, Depth Raiders, Jakey's?
Depth Raiders, Jakey stuff, big stuff, you know. Just all that. I'm thinking even the Glide Raider, potentially.
Even the Glide Raider.
So worked slowly over a rock hump. I'm going to give that a test. Mm-hmm. See how that works.
Well, I mean, it's a matter of even through the whole habitat range, weeds are still working. Vegetation's yep. still working. Rock humps are still working. Points, breaks, but it's starting to turn to. You might go, say a bait's throwing a freaking crane bait or they're throwing whatever. In front of you, if you're throwing bigger than them, you can go in behind boats and score fish if you're willing to throw big. You know, which is, we're laughing about it because me and you were joking earlier before we did the podcast about stamina, right? It takes some stamina to throw big baits all day. It takes some gumption. You know, you can't go out there and like, oh, I've thrown giant killers and 500s all season, and now I'm throwing a mag dog, boys.
It's time for the men.
It's time.
Men to play.
Hello, muskies.
Hello, the men have arrived, as you can see from my mustache.
If you can see from my mustache, because masculinity, I can't even talk. It's so late. It's literally 1 in the morning. Tyler, I'm going to tell you, it is, I left at 5, so it's 1, so that's like 4 hours. So how long have I been up? I got up at 5, and it's 1 a.m., so I've been up 21 hours.
Dude, I'm so tired. I'm just.
I don't know. Anyway, it is
most of these podcasts I do in my underwear. I mean,
wow.
Just yeah. Mm. For everybody, you have that image now in your heads. You can't escape me. Mm. I'm forever in your brain.
Is that the name of your documentary or your autobiography, Tyler Andrews? Forever.
I'm forever in you.
Forever in you. Wow. Okay. Disappointing, but not surprised. Anyway, get focused with me. Take your focus pill into the big baits, though, for real.
Okay.
Tactics for Northern Wisconsin, tactics for this time of year when we're talking big baits. You're saying glider over the hump, whether it's a Glide Raider, a 10-inch Phantom, or it's the big Hellhound, or whatever big glider.
Try it.
That's what I'm thinking.
Big crankbaits, big bulldogs, mm-hmm. big Medusas. I mean,
rubber.
Yeah, dude. I was even thinking slow rolling a big 10 over a rock hump. I mean, big. You want big stuff and not necessarily fast. I mean, if you think about it, muskies are cold blooded. They're not the water. Their environment's cold, mm-hmm. so they're gonna be moving slower. I mean, I don't think there's any freshwater fish that move super fast when it gets cold. It's just not the way their biology works. They're going to be moving slower and they're going to be wanting easier meals, bigger meals for that high energy input for low energy output.
Right.
They're not going to want to speed up and chase down a burning bucktail and then go, oh, too mm-hmm. fast, me lazy and fat. Right. You know, they don't want that crap.
Well, it just boils down. We say it. Is make it worth their time. Make it worth the caloric output for the caloric reward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I take a cheese nip and I whiz it at your head at 100 miles an hour, you're not going to go chasing it down, right? But if I lay up a Culver's butter burger at your face, you're probably going to eat it.
You know? Yeah. Oh,
all
yeah,
that,
man.
Everybody, I'm ratting you out, Tyler.
Mm-hmm.
Tyler Andrews gets the fish sandwich at Culver's, folks.
How dare you?
They're going to revoke your Wisconsin status.
I feel like it's pretty Wisconsin. I think it was a Friday.
Remember,
I was following tradition. Yeah, we all eat fried fish on Fridays.
Remember when you told me try the cod? Like so I'm here. Let me paint the scene. Minocqua, Wisconsin. The year is 2020. The month is July. I'm in a drive-thru with Tyler, and I say, "What do you get at Culver's?" And like a 78-year-old man wearing pants up to his nipples and a button-down shirt, Tyler goes, "Have you tried the cod?" I mean, what's wrong with it?
A lot of things.
But you did get cheese curds with it.
I always get cheese curds with every fast food meal.
I skip
Burger King, skip McDonald's. You know what? I know why.
Why?
They don't have flipping cheese curds.
They
and
don't
that's an
have
abomination.
Cheese curds.
Abomination. Sue them. Like
sue
this just ridiculous.
I'm not telling you to go crazy in a McDonald's, but you might want to.
They need to bring out the cheese curds in Wisconsin. Only Wisconsin. Everyone else is unworthy.
Can you imagine how gross they would be if, like, people... You don't want them from there. I'm just saying. They're all going to be squeakers in a bad way, my friend. They're going to be like... It's going to be squeakers because there's going to be a deep-fried mouse in there. That's what's going to be squeaking.
Or they'll always be out like their ice cream.
Yeah. Just be like, oh, in the, be 107 degrees in there, and there's just a vat of them. We got to order. Hey, Terry, we got to order a curds. Listen. If you're trying the curds, can I introduce you to curds? Curd is a disgusting word, by the way. I hate it. It's like two of my...
Don't diss our curds. Careful now.
I just don't like the word curd.
It's cheese curd. We got the cheddar squeakers. We got the white cheddar squeakers. We got the deep fried white cheddar. Then we got the deep fried yellow cheddar. It's just good.
Everything you've said in the last few seconds makes me angry. That's all I'm gonna say. It's just like all the words that have come out of your mouth have made me physically upset. I'm just.
I've even had a quarter pounder curd.
Again, physically upset. Tyler, I've got news for you.
Yeah.
You got a big trip planned down. You're coming down to fish with me, coming down to hang out with me in the Joe Torino. And anyway.
I'm going to steal all your spoons. Yep. All of them.
Well, let's not talk about your drug problem here, okay? anyway. They're building a Culver's next to my house.
Oh, yes.
That's not a joke. That's for real.
Oh, my gosh. Are you serious?
I'm dead. Like... Honest to goodness, 4 minutes from my house.
Oh my God.
I'm going
to. That's dangerous.
Folks, send flowers and condolences to my wife. Her name's Jody. Go ahead and send all of the stuff. We're going to get the obit written up because I am promising you I'm going to die in the drive-thru when I eat 7 butter burgers in a row. Okay. It's just, there's nothing about it. It's going down. All right, so Tyler's going to auction off the bait cave here. Dude, I'm so... Oh, my God. I'm screwed. There's no way around it. I'm going to eat some... Like, how can you resist that? It's right...
Oh, it's hard to pass... being a Wisconsinite, it's hard to pass a Culver's. Even if you just had Culver's, it's hard to pass one.
What's better than one Culver? Second Culver's.
A third Culver's, even,
a
man.
Third Culver's. You know, I'm sorry. This is not brought to you by Culver's, but it's good.
It could be.
It could
be. If you're listening.
It's good. Oh, I just got nice. Nice salesmanship. Anyway, that's basically our feelings on large musky baits.
Yeah. It's Culver's and cheese curds. Culver's.
If you're not catching them, go hang out in Culver's. That's where I like to go and park my truck and cry.
I mine's Dollar General.
Dollar General, you just hang out in the Dollar General parking lot and just cry, man cry.
Yeah, scream at people.
just where I go. Sorry, God. It's too late. It's just the dumbest stuff ever. Where? God, Tyler.
I go to the Dollar General just to yell at people.
just go there to cry and annoy people. Man, can we get let's get back on topic because I'm
serious now.
I'm on Pepsi Ultra number 7, Tyler.
The big 7.
But I do want to take a moment here. And this is freaking unbelievable, folks. Okay.
Unbelievable.
I want to thank everybody that listens to the Muskie 360 podcast, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is episode 50.
The
5-0. Watch out, homie. It's the 5-0. Episode 50 of the Muskie 360 podcast. Me and you talked about this earlier today. We've seen the numbers. We've seen how many of you guys are listening. We are so absolutely honored. We are beside ourselves. We can't thank you guys enough. We can't thank you for the emails. We can't thank you for the support of the podcast, the support of the app, support of everything we're doing. I know it sounds corny. I know you guys are sitting there going, oh, shut up. But we read all the emails. You guys send so many every week. We reply. Me and you reply to like every one of them, Tyler.
Mm-hmm. It's unbelievable. You guys are awesome. I can't believe you want to listen to our dumb voices talk, fill your heads with Culver's. Cheese curds, Culver's, and what we do at the Dallas General.
Crying in parking lots. Hey, this is where I go to think about the things I've done wrong in my life.
Dollar General.
You ever just find yourself in a Dollar General parking lot thinking about all the cringy things you've ever done? The Muskie 360 podcast might be right for you. Anyway, now it's unbelievable. The amount of listens you guys have given us, the amount of time, the human hours is actually a little bit frightening. Okay, I'm just going to... If we had all banded together, we probably could have built a pyramid. Just going to throw that out there. Like, we could have, like, the human hours that people have listened to me and you ramble about musky fishing, we probably could have, like, done something amazing. But instead, we've hung out and listened to this craziness. And I love it. Anyway, get refocused here because I'm a mess. You're a mess. Back to big baits. I'm going to talk trolling, right?
Okay. You want to
take the lead on trolling?
Okay.
For a few minutes. You're going to carry the lead on casting, and you're going to talk casting on 8-inch shallow rators, jointed shallow rators, and the flat sides. Here's my thing I'm going to tell you guys about this season and this time of year when it comes to trolling big baits. So the things that I'm looking for, obviously suspended bait fish, but I'm not looking at maybe the weed edge, but the first breaks away from it. And I'm talking my trolling spreads. What I'm going to be throwing in there is I'm always going to be toting around one monsto bait. One big, big, big bait. 14-inch Jakes. 13-inch Grandmas. 9-inch Shallow Raiders. Those are the ones that are going to go on the big, big, big spectrum. If fish are fast, I'm thinking the 10-inch non-jointed Believer. Or I don't, are they Believers or Swim Whizzes, Tyler? I don't know. Can anybody? I can't. I'm looking at them. I'm staring at them. One looks.
They're
like,
the same. I've looked at them. They're the same bait, but they're called different names.
But Believer Whiz, Swim Lever.
I don't know. I mean, what in tarnation is this confusion?
They've changed hands a bunch of times. There's like Big Bear products or something. We could look at the Musky Shop. Let me do that real quick. We need to figure that out. What is the difference on that? Shameless plug for the Musky Shop. It's a shameless plug because we shop there a lot. Shameless plug.
Go there for your musky baits.
Freaking good Lord, Tyler.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Let's see here. Swim.
I'm a grown man singing about muskies in my underwear.
Oh, my God. Grown man. Let's just repeat that in a slow, bro. Your obituary, Tyler, when I write it, will say this. Okay. Tyler Andrews, greatest quote. I'm a grown man singing about musky baits in my underwear. Just take a moment to just really soak that in. So, Big Bear Products is making the Swim Whiz, right? Believer. I can't spell the word believer, folks, because I'm real dumb right now.
Beaver Lever?
Beaver. Beaver Lever. Hold on.
Did it work?
What?
Did it work?
Type.
Tyler.
Yeah.
Listen. Drifter makes the Believer.
Okay. All right.
The Bear People make.
Rawr.
So Believer's making the 10 and the 13.
Mm-hmm.
Of a Believer. Big Bear makes a 6-inch swim with and an 8-inch swim with.
I think Drifter also makes an 8.
Huh?
I think Drifter also makes an 8.
8, 7, 6, 13, 10 incher. They make them all. Mm-hmm. They make them.
In all shapes and sizes.
Hey,
I don't know the difference.
Why am I on that tip? God, I don't understand the difference. Maybe somebody knows. It's Homer LeBlanc, I thought, made all that. Anyway, so. Some deep running cranks on that, but I'm focusing on my small side of things being that 8-inch depth rater, whether it be the suspending, which you can pause the boat. That's another thing, Tyler, that me and you talk about is like when you're trolling, you can actually pause a suspending depth rater over humps, bumps, and stumps. You know, you can actually put the boat in neutral and that bait will hang in those places. So the trolling spread I'm looking for right now this time of year, whether it's one line or multiple lines, is one big bait. And then something in that 8 to 10 inch range, you know, 8-inch depth rater, triple D's, whether it be, you know, Cisco Kid, if you want to go super old school, there's a lot of things you can do in that spread, but go big. It's time to put those shad wraps away. It's time to put the, you know, the Wileys away, or whether it be these other cranks, storms, whatever you're running, go with that bigger stuff. And as far as those spreads, what I'm looking for is a smaller of the spread is probably going to be my deepest bait. I know that sounds a little bit goofy, but that's what's working for me. So I'll run like a 14-inch Jake or a 13-inch Grandma in that 6 to 10 range. I will run a DR 10 feet. I'll run a 9-inch shallow rater in that 6 to 10 sort of range. But sort of spreading it out, depending on how many lines you have, I'll really mix it up and change things up. But running bigger baits on those trolling passes, Tyler, what's some of your, and I know we're just discombobulated as all heck gear, but what's some of your, like, thought processes? What are you looking for with big baits? Is it about moving fish for you? Is it about locating fish with these big baits? What's your big bait Northern Wisconsin theory right now? What are you doing?
It's about catching fish on big baits, Steve. I'm just kidding.
Oh, wow. Very insightful.
Revelations.
Revelation. Hold on. Do we need a moment of pause there? Hold up. You're telling me you're throwing big baits trying to catch fish.
No.
You gotta be kidding me. Whoa.
Captain Pants. Obvious here.
My shoes are in my neighbor's yard because you knocked my socks off.
Well, I mean, like I said earlier in the podcast, I think it has to do with high energy input with low energy output. They want a big, fat, juicy, oily sucker to eat because the winter months are coming up. It's about to freeze over. It's about to be awful and terrible and cold. They're not going to be eating much in the winter. Everything's real cold, so they're not going to be moving too much. They want to get fat and sassy, sit on a couch, relax, just sit, watch TV, do nothing, maybe eat a Cheeto that swims by or something.
Delicious.
They want easy, big meals. So when I'm casting, I'm not doing really retrieving my lures fast. I'm going slow. I'm actually about to switch out all my reels to like a 5.1 or 4.9, whatever slowest one I have. I can't remember. Whatever. I have a couple reels that are ultra creepy slow, that stuff that Half Spool Steve likes to use.
Yeah. I actually use the spool of bee spray with a handle on it. That's how slow I fish. Hand lining muskies.
Snails.
The muskies, usually the ones I catch have fallen asleep and I net them. That's how slow I fish. They're like,
So I'm going to be targeting. There's still some weed patches. I'm going to mess around with those, see if there's some fish there. I'm going to be trying to mark bait fish on the breaks, mark bait fish on rock humps, fish rock humps, slow roll 10s over a rock hump, use some glide baits, let them sink down to the rock hump, so they're like a foot or two off the rocks, and slowly twitch it off the rock, let it sink down a little bit. I'm basically just trying to give them a big, juicy meal that's really easy to eat, where they just have to go open their mouth, turn to the left, and close. That's all I'm trying to get them to do.
Those are very specific instructions. Open your mouth, turn to your left, and close.
Good God.
That is very specified. I like it. The one thing you said that it, like, sparks my interest is you said about the gliders. Whether it be a glide rider, whether it be a 10-inch Phantom, Hellhound, name it, Amabama, whatever.
Amabama.
Little factoid, by the way. The Amabama is a West Virginia bait, right? And there's a town called Amma. Amma. It's from Amma. And I actually had a guy ask me if that bait was from Alabama. It's actually made in the town by a guy named Bill Looney, and he's from Amma. Either he like fishes a bunch in Amma, or some. I could bore you with the details, or I could remember. But nonetheless, it's named after that town. It's the Amabama. Amma is about as big as like a pinpoint on the map. There's nothing there. I think there might be a gas station, but anyway. Long story short, with glide baits, like one thing you said about getting it deep. I think what's interesting this time of year on a rock hump or a point is something that's really underutilized, which is overthrowing with a glide bait. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. And we've talked about it and dialed in with it. Like, don't throw way past where you're trying to work that bait to let it get down, so you're not sinking it over the rock hump.
You want it past and then bring it up over the rock
hump. Yes. And that's
more natural.
That's some ninja stuff right there, boys.
Ninja.
I know. For all of you that, I know there's hundreds of you that are sit there and take notes every episode. You're just writing feverently, scratching it down. Throw. That's my pencil sound, Tyler. I don't know what pencil.
It doesn't sound like any darn pencil I know.
Well, pencils are far different this far south. what I'm doing is throwing past. So I want to get some distance past a point, past a rock hump, past a piece of cover. So I'm not trying to sink the bait there. I want to allow that fall. So, and that's one thing a lot of people are not patient enough to do, is like throw it out there and give it 7 seconds, give it 10 seconds. You know, throw it out there, watch it fall. Stare at your watch, look at a bird, go, wow, that squirrel's fat, and then start retrieving it. You know? You go, okay, you know.
Man, that squirrel looks tasty.
Wow, that's a deal. If I had a gun, I'd kill that squirrel. If I was Pete Maina and I had a skeet launcher, I'd launch that squirrel into a tree. You know, that's what would Pete do? Pete Maina would launch that squirrel across the, you know.
It's amazing.
If you haven't watched it, I encourage you to watch Pete Maina launch squirrels with a skeet shooter. It's something. I'll give it that. But anyway, you know, a lot of people are, like I said, it's just that patience to throw a glider and let it get down to depth before we bring it into the rock hump, before we bring it into the point, because people will throw a glider at the cover, at the structure, and then they work it and they go, nothing's happening. You're going, you're not at depth until you're 10 feet off the boat.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the big thing, is like hang time. The big thing for me is about hang time. And the big thing for me is about getting it so that things, that Clyde bait's going to come in 3, 4, 2, whatever. It's going to come close to that rock hump or that rock pile or that submerged stump long before. It's coming in close before we even get there. We're not trying to drop it in. We're trying to have it at depth before we even get there. I'm just trying to, man, we're just riffing here. We're both exhausted, but I'm trying to riff some other stuff that's like really good, solid fall tactics. The other thing that's a big sleeper, suspending crankbaits, whether it be the double D, the triple D, or my favorite, the suspending depth rater, which allows you to like give things a pause with an exceptionally slow rise or a complete suspension. And when we're talking like fish that are like fat and lazy,
sassy.
Did you literally just, are they sassy, Tyler?
They can be. They back talk to me when I catch them.
Folks, if you would like to be the co-host of the Musky 360 podcast, please.
I have just been fired publicly.
Anyone publicly fired. The next contest.
Public humiliation.
Is public, is you're into it though, is what I've heard. the next one I can get, Liz, I'll take anybody. I don't care if you've musky fished. Please call me. anybody's got to have better answers than sassy. That's it. Sassy. Try fishing with this guy. You'll be standing there. He'll figure out a fish. But how big was it? He'll, it was sassy. It. What? How, you're giving me nothing to work with, Tyler. Nothing. Nothing. You're like a brick.
It's a sassy 31.
It's like doing a podcast with a brick wall. Hello, brick wall. Sassy. Anyway, back to my point. Is the suspending bait, suspending DR, suspending double D, triple D, all that stuff, really is an opportunity to pause those baits on cover structure and rocks and all the stuff you're looking for. I mean, it just really gives you an opportunity to just stick that bait in their face and make them commit.
Easy meal.
And if you're, you know, you're looking at straight cranking, even with a suspending DR or a double D, you can throw it out there and reel it and stop. Reel it and stop. Reel it and stop. You don't have to jerk bait it. With my suspending depth rig, I actually put the curly tail on the back, which is a little mod I do. You can put plastic on those, change some hooking configurations, give a really slow rise or give it a slow fall or straight suspension. But when we're talking those rock points, like I said, I keep talking about cover, but whatever. Sometimes those strikes are going to be from the stop. It's not going to be because you worked it so well there. It's because you stuck it there. They're having to look at it and they go, well, if I lunge at this and just put my mouth on it, it's a cheap meal. Make your presentations big, noticeable, slow, easy. That pretty much get it?
Yes, sir.
You know, what more can you say?
I mean, hang your meat as well. I mean,
hanging meat. It's always a good time. Last week we talked about hanging meat. Everybody loves hanging thine meat on the podcast. I've got to find Tyler. Believe it or not. All right.
Mm-hmm.
You're gonna have a hard time believing this.
Okay.
We have a winner.
Ooh.
Four.
Uh-huh.
the Muskie 360 Pumpkin Carving Contest.
Oh my gosh, can't believe someone did that.
Oh, a bunch of people did. More people than you'd believe carved a pumpkin. One of them says, I hate Guru. I don't know why he would carve that. It had your home address on one pumpkin, and then it says, I hate Guru, and it says, you're dead on the... It was three pumpkins. It's an amazing display. It was really nice.
Listen to me here, listener. I will find you.
I will find you, and I will foul hook you. I mean, other than it being a threat towards you, it's a really nice display. I mean,
blood
you got to admit,
he's coming for you.
Blood hook is, he's got a glide rider with your name on it. Anyway, I got him. We actually got a bunch of pumpkins. You guys are not going to see it until our spooktacular episode.
Spooky
boys. Ooh. Tyler, you're pretty spooky boy.
I can scare you anytime I want.
That made me uncomfortable. Literally, I was like, I don't know. Not much makes me uncomfortable. You saying that, I was like, it's not that I can hurt you. It's not that I can kill you. It's not gonna. I can beat your ass or anything. It was, I can scare you. It was like, what is that? That's very uncomfortable.
That's a 1 a.m. musky brain for you there, yeah. Son.
I can scare you anytime I want. I don't understand. Are you related to Shad Daddy, number one? That's what that felt like. Anyway.
Three-fourths
of my cousin removed by mother, cousin's mother's cousin. Thomas is our winner. Thomas says, hi, gentlemen. I had a bit too much fun on this project, and my wife thinks I'm an idiot. It happens to the best of it. He said he put a lot of effort into this pumpkin, and the carving, it's got half Spool Steve in the back. It's got Yoda up front. It has the Guru's mustache. Folks, it is the most spooktacular. Say it, Tyler.
Spooktacular.
Spooky. It is the most spooktacular pumpkin you've ever seen. It will be. I keep saying we're gonna have a spooktacular podcast as if it's gonna be something amazing.
It's just gonna be you and me dressed up in costumes and no one can see it.
It recorded in a Dollar General parking lot where Tyler goes to cry. So it'll just be. It'll just be that anyway. We're going to send me an email. He won 5 juniors inlines for that, Tyler.
Wow.
You tell your wife who's the idiot now.
Let me know how that goes over well, my friend.
You can also join Tyler Andrews in a Dollar General parking lot for a good cry. I don't know if does his wife get half the juniors in lines in the divorce if he calls her an idiot or what? You know, don't tell the judge that you got 5 juniors in lines. Okay. Got to hit one more thing, Tyler, before we get the Q&A here.
Hello.
What's that, huh?
What is that?
Shield rods, baby.
Yes.
I have
Lay it on me.
Been spending a lot of time with them, and a lot of people are like, we got a lot of emails last week and we appreciate it. What I can tell you as far as like main feedback and the main thing everybody's asked as far as like between the 9-foot heavy and the 9-foot extra heavy, what are you seeing? You know, what do you like better? I like the 9-foot telescoping heavy as my general, like, Phantom, Glide Raider, Hellhound, Topwater, if I'm going to throw a Top Raider, I'm going to throw a Creeper or whatever. You know, twitching, sort of my utilitarian rod.
Multi-use rod.
Me throw bunch baits. That's how smart I feel right now. The lights off the computer hurt my eyes. That's how tired I am. But that is like my go-to little bit of everything. The extra heavy is definitely going to be hanging meat. Okay? That's good. Or I'm going to use that to hang my meat. I'm going to use that on, you know, bulldogs, mag dogs. You could throw like a regular, you could throw a mag dog on the heavy. I mean, you can throw any bait on any rod if you want. But I like that extra heavy. It feels really good when I'm talking Medusas. I'm talking Magnum bulldogs. I'm talking bigger gliders. I didn't use it today for like the big 12-inch hellhound, but I have used it for that size bait. It works really well. What I've found that extra heavy excels at is the Magnum bulldogs, the pounders, all that stuff, but really is great dragon baits too. I've put a headlock behind it. I've put the 14-inch Jake behind it, and it really just, you know, it seems to really hold up on that bait. I know you've been casting that just the regular heavy like I have, right? That's been sort of like your all around.
It's my go-to. It just, it works for everything.
You know,
I mean, I just use it. I got an extra heavy you can rip rubber with or
right.
work glide raiders with. But I mean, you can do that with the heavy too. I like them both. The heavy is just my main, it's my main stick, man.
And that's the one thing a lot of people like, you know, if you pick, but hey, the heavy will get you around just about anything you need to do.
It is the ultimate multi-tool rod.
Multi-tool. Wasn't that your nickname in high school, Tool?
How'd you know? You didn't know me in high school.
You don't know.
I was cool.
I was so cool. No, I mean, I like the heavy if that was it. And it's just, you know, shameless plug, but if you gotta have one, if you're gonna pick one of the two, I say the heavy. You know, I've spent enough time with it now where I go, I can work a Suic. I'm not afraid to work a monster Medusa on the heavy. But in the same token, I can work a 6-inch Phantom. So, you know, everybody that's been listening for this long, you know, I don't like having a bunch of rods on the boat. So, you know, that's my take on it. Maybe it's not meant for it, but okay. It'll throw bait. Anyway, first question. Dylan says, hello, Meowski experts. That's a new one, Meowski. Wow, well played. Said, I recently bought 3 Down East rod holders to put on my boat, and I can't figure out where I want to. Oh, my God. This guy's in. Tyler, are you ready for this?
Mm-hmm.
Can't figure out where I want to mount them.
You're so punny.
He says, I like not having junk in the way on my figure eight space boat side and have better mounting access near the bow. Where do you like your holders mounting? Literally? Okay, Dylan. That is a lot of mount. We got to give this guy like 5 stars for mount.
Mount.
I know it took you all week to think that up. that is as punny as it gets. Tar, you run Down Easts. What?
Yeah.
How many?
I mean, I run Scotties and Down East because I can't afford a bunch of Down East.
Right. They ain't cheap, baby. They're good.
They ain't
though cheap.
Hey, every once in a while, look for a sale, man. Muskie Shops actually got them. Shameless plug, they've got them for actually a really good price.
Yeah.
I mean, $20 cheaper than everybody else. Like, really, really good. I actually noticed that. I'm going to fucking get some. But I run Down East, and I run Scotties, and I run them out of the back of the boat with actually no problem figure eighting. My dad fished out of the back of the boat. You could be quite a clumsy man.
Your dad has actually sunken boats just by stepping on them, correct?
No.
Okay.
he's broken a few chairs, unfortunately.
He's not a large man, though. That's the thing.
No.
It's not like it's no body day job. He's not that big, you know.
No, he's my size. He's a slim man. He's just he's rough on things. He's very rough.
Is this the part where you say he's rough on you and then you go cry in a parking lot? He's rough on you.
He
Why don't you love me?
I've seen him just destroy all some of my stuff in just spectacular ways. And for some reason, he just can handle the rod holders perfectly and elegantly. I'm like, you're so confusing.
You're so there's down east. You're not going to break those.
No. Shoot them with a tank.
Aren't they galvanized?
You know what's crazy about them? Have you ever smelled one? They have like this. Serious. Smell a new one out of the package. It smells like acorns. You know, like that acorn rut that scent we put out for deer. They smell like acorns. They smell amazing.
This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. Check.
They smell amazing, and they're amazing. I love them.
So you're gonna drag your new Down East rod holders into your deer stand or something? I mean, that is practically absolutely useless information. B, stupid. C, stupid and absolutely useless. I appreciate it. As you can tell, I really, really, really appreciate the fact. Listen, folks, if you want to know why the guru is banned from the Muskie shop, he's been sniffing the rod holders, okay? It's just like Jim and Jay have kicked him out. It's like the guru's in here again. He's in there sniffing the rod holders.
He's rubbing all the baits on himself.
And he's in there just rubbing on them jigs. Listen, if you buy a bait from the Muskie shop, 99% certain the guru's rubbed himself on it. He's just like, you just sort of squirm. That's why they kick you out with a broom every time. They chase him out like a roach.
It's true.
I saw you licking a set of Spanky blades one time. It was disgusting. It's just not right, Tyler.
I don't buy baits. I rub them.
Give me the top five baits you like to go in there and sniff.
Those X toads smell pretty good.
He will sniff your X toad. Check.
Bulldogs and Medusas don't have any scent to them.
No scent, so those are on the list.
I like this is not bait, Scotty. Down, Scotty rod holders smell like acorns. what else? I like a good top raider.
That's enough terror, I think, for one podcast. We're gonna leave the others to listen, folks. If you buy some Down East rod holders and you need them sniffed, you're too afraid to do it yourself, and you really want to know what your rod holders smell like. This is honest to goodness, Tyler. I'm going to walk out into my bedroom, leave the bait cave here, and suck the bluing off of Remington. If you say you sniff a rod holder again, anyway. Jake says, love the podcast, guys. Your tips are great, helping to put more muskies in my net. My question is, when you guys decided to get into guiding, did you start part time and keep another job, or did you just dive in neck deep, hoping it was going to work? Tyler, you're in college and doing the guide thing on the side, so I guess that doesn't really count. He's a student. Student.
Me guide. Make money for student.
Me student. You know, I'm not saying it doesn't count. I mean,
I just guide every once in a while because I like guiding. I had so many people freaking like, hey, can you take me fishing? Like,
you
did. Okay.
I just do it for the women's.
All the women lining up to hang out amazing. With the muskie guy.
Yes, there's six female muskie fishermen.
On the entire planet.
It's a great question, Jake. It's one of those things I would never. And in my personal story is I sort of had things lined up where I could do that. And I jumped in, but I had a safety net. And it's a scary thing. Like, if somebody's thinking about doing it, you can email me or text me, and I will talk to you for hours on the phone about, like, what it's really like. But it's a different ball game because there's a lot of guys that are like, they want to call themselves a professional guy, but they're part-timers. They might do it for 30 days a month or, excuse me, 30 days a year.
Mm-hmm.
Or they might do it for a month and a half every year, and they say, I'm a professional guide. Well, that's not professionalism. That is, I guide in the summers. I guide for a month a year. Different ball game. Yeah, this is all I do. This is what I do full time. And it's a different lifestyle as far as like the hours, the time you're putting in. You know, a lot of people don't realize it's 8 to 10 hours on the water, and then it's bookended by prep. You know, you got to pack the core, you got to clean the boat, you got to make sure all the rods are ready to go. What did everybody break yesterday? How many reels are bird nested? You know, do you need to change the oil in the boat? Are the tires low?
How many lures have been stolen?
How many lures have been stolen out of the boat?
That's happened.
That happens. You know, freaking just the list of when do I need to pick them up from their hotel? Are we meeting over there? You know, Where'd you barf? Where are the hot Cheetos? How many hot Mountain Dews they drink in the boat? You know, can they cast? Can they not cast? There's a lot of things that go into being a successful guide. It is a matter of musky fishing most days is 8 to 10 hours of grind with 10 seconds of excitement. Right? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, musky fishing is just that way anyway. So there's not a lot of catching. I mean, y'all hope for it. And we all go out and go, man, I hope it is an all day like catch-a-thon. It's you're teaching, you're correcting, you're coaching, and you're entertaining. That's the biggest thing I would think. I mean, I hate to say it, but like when it comes to musky fishing, like a lot of people, and one thing me and Tyler, you get asked a bunch, and people have asked us through email at the podcast, like, how can you talk about musky fishing for an hour and a half or 2 hour or an hour, you know, hour and a half, max 2 hours on a podcast? I do it for 8 hours a day.
Yeah, dude, I think about muskies every day.
Well, and you think about it and you talk about it when you take guide trips, when we're filming. So there's a lot of like those facets. I don't want to crawl down the rabbit hole. It's interesting, maybe, if people care about that kind of stuff. There's just ways that you do things, and obviously number one is catching muskies, but it's funny because like catching a muskie is the most important part of the day, but is not the dominant part of the day. So there's a lot of other things that go in there. I've got to move on. Oh my goodness. Are you ready for this guy's name, Tyler?
Yes.
Jer. Oh my God. Okay. Jerkinoff.
So I'm assuming your first name is Jerry and Jer is for his short nickname.
No,
right?
No. It is, I think, is a joke name. And the name is Jerkinoff. Jerkinoff says, "Hey guys, I love the podcast." He says, "I listen every week." Meow. "I work on a farm and there's nothing else to keep me entertained. It seems every Thursday my boss is looking at me weird because I'm riding in a skid steer or tractor laughing at absolutely nothing." No, you're laughing at us there, Jerkinoff. He said, "But this time was different. He noticed something was wrong and that I was upset. Turns out I broke my $400 St. Croix trying to cast a brick with hooks on it after the banana guru suggested trying it." Good job, Tyler. You broke this guy's St. Croix rod. He said, "After the banana guru suggested someone trying it, also in hopes of just trying to knock out a fish and diving it and grabbing it." Well, that might work, too. He says, "Now, respectfully, I request that I either get one of the guru's old St. Croix rods, because now he's throwing shield rods, or I get a lure that I can actually physically cast and will also be effective as a brick with hooks on it. Perhaps one of the lures he illegally snuck out of the muskie shop after he rubbed himself down with them and got chased out with a broom." Oh, my gosh.
Yikes. He knows me well.
You know, did you? I mean, he's got you to a T. So we appreciate. I mean,
did you read the disclaimer after the podcast? "I'm not responsible for any rod breakage or losses."
No. I mean, that's it. If you're going to throw a brick with hooks on it, you assume all risk. I'll tell you what can throw a brick with a hook on it and not break.
Musky Shop Shield Rod.
Musky Shop Shield Rod.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Every other musky rod is trash.
It's trash. No, that's funny stuff, man. We appreciate it. We don't recommend throwing bricks with hooks on them, okay? Just don't. Don't do that. Unless you want to. If you do it, please film it. We want to see it. But don't. And don't tell anybody we told you to, okay? Other than that, send me a message. We'll send you a bait. What do you say, Tyler?
We'll send you a bait, yes?
We'll send you a Junior's inline brick. We will send you a Junior's inline. Man, that's funny stuff. It goes on. But maybe you can throw a brick. We ought to try it. Want to try throwing a brick this? What if you put like tins in front of like a small brick? Doesn't have to be a full size brick.
Yeah, maybe half brick.
Maybe half brick. Anyway, Ryan says, what are some techniques for getting smaller crankbaits deeper while trolling if you don't want to spend money on larger crankbaits?
Dipsy divers.
Dipsy divers. Who taught you that, Tyler?
You did,
sir. I'm sorry. That was self-serving. Dipsy divers. That is like my little trick. A dipsy diver is primarily used, I guess, like salmon. I don't know. I mean, they were originally intended to catch dipsies, correct?
Dude, I don't know.
They were originally intended for that. Dipsy diver is this little round disc, about as round. It's about the size of a small round disc, right, Tyler?
Yeah.
Okay. So it's a small round disc that's roughly the size of a small round disc, and it's weighted, and it allows you to take small baits deep. Okay. They've got this little action system with a flip down arm. You get one off the internet, get one. I think Musky Shop sells them. We should check. Does Musky Shop sell them? Sorry. Maybe I spoke.
Shameless plug, shameless plug,
shameless plug,
shameless plug, shameless plug, plug the musk shop.
Wow, Tyler,
do they have it?
That hurt my soul. Nope. Nope. Don't know. Anyway,
Spaghetti.
Anyway, the dipsy diver will take a small bait and get it deeper. It's used for like, I don't know, I don't know how to catch other fish other than muskies. So it's used for all those other stupid fish that are in the water. So you can take, in my tactics, I'll take like a 5-inch shallow rater and get it down deep. So if I want a small bait deep, or if I want to get a rattle trap deep, that's a trick. That one thing I'd say is this is like, And it's like, Tyler, you'll know what I'm saying. You can get small crankbaits that run deep, though.
Mm-hmm.
Lunging 22 short runs kind of deep, right? Some of that Bagley stuff will run deeper. Define small. You know, it's just one of those things like some of those baits will run a little bit different. I would not, however, not buy the right baits for what you're trying to do. I mean, you know what I'm saying? I don't know if I'm trying to hit 7 or 8 feet with a small crankbait, I'm thinking about a Chad. I'm thinking about a Lungeon. I'm thinking about a small Cisco Kid. I'm thinking about I'm thinking about these other baits. So I would not, it's sort of like one of these things of going like, and I'm not knocking it, Ryan, I know what you're getting at, but it's like one of these things like, don't go, well, I don't want to buy a top raider, so I'm going to burn a bucktail. Like I said, there's not enough context in the question, but don't sell your fishing short because you don't want to get crankbaits. Now, if by a larger crankbait you mean a 14-inch Jake, that's money. You know what I mean? It's just like if you get into a big Jake. Let's see here. I'll look at Musky Shop. Shameless plug.
Shameless plug. Shameless plug.
Shameless plug. you know, you get into like, let's look at a, okay. I mean, you can get a 10 inch Jake for $24, you know.
That's a nice Jake there.
That's a, oh there, Pete.
I can scare you anytime, boy.
But I can, listen, Tyler Andrews can scare you any time. Anytime.
Anytime.
Now. Scared. Tomorrow. Scared. 3 o'clock.
I'm in your closet right now.
Scared.
All of your closets.
Wednesday. Scared. Sunday. Scared. Sunday night. Scared. Anytime. Anyway. You know, if I'm looking at this bigger crankbaits, $21 on the Jake. Let's look here. I mean, I'm not, and like I said, I'm not trying to say, hey, don't spend the money. I get what you're getting at, where like try to get, and I'm like the worst on let's get the most out of the least, where I don't want to spend $1 billion on crap. But, you know, if I'm thinking about the 6-inch grandma deep diver is $15.99.
That's a good price, yeah.
Yeah, it's a good price. Buy two. I'm looking here. I mean, I get it. If you're looking like this Legends or Legend Lures perch bait, yeah, that's pricey. Or the Legend Lure plow, but, you know, a Lungeon 22 shorts, $24.99. A 50 cal's $35. A depth rater, what's a depth rater run? $18?
I mean, don't know.
But, you know, it's really not that big of a commitment. I guess, hopefully, what I'm saying, okay, depth rater, $20. Duh. So, don't forego a good crankbait for that application. You know, get one good crankbait. If you're going to get one large crankbait, get a depth rater. Don't try to rob Peter to pay Paul. All the time. You know, there's a time and a place for getting small cranks deep, but don't forego that to just save a couple bucks here and there. And that's coming. And I'm the cheapest guy in the game, you know. So anyway, moving on. Tom says hello. Tom said hello, Tyler. Stop being rude. Please say hello.
Don't say hi to me. I'm shy.
I'm shy. Tom says, hello, I fish a lake in Ohio with steep banks and little weeds and cover. The lake is known to have big muskie in it, and people mostly troll for them. My question is it possible to catch them casting, and what do I need to look for to do that? There are no humps or big flats. What kind of structure would the fish relate to? Tom, I think I know where you're fishing. Tyler, I've told you about that. It's a real trolling kind of lake. Small cranks, bat lake, shad cranks.
They suspend it.
No, it's one of those things. There's not a lot of features where, you know, there's like a lily pads on one part of it, you know, and there's not much vegetation. The thing is this, muskies have never been to another lake. They just haven't. You know, if they're in that lake, it's not like they can visit grandma's. Oh, I'm going to go check out. You know, they're not going from Eagle River to there, you know. So anything that is a structural element, it might look minute to you. It might not look impressive. They're working with the best they got. So the best structure you have on that lake is the best structure they're ever going to know, because that is where they live and they're always going to live there. So look at break lines. Look at the first break off the shoreline. There will be a contour. There will be like a demarcation between the shallow and the deeper part of the lake. You can cast that edge. You know, if you're not going to troll it and you don't want to troll it, get out, you know, on a lake like that, there's not that many features, bomb cast into the shoreline and bring it out. You know, and Tyler, chime in here, because you've got so many lakes up in Wisconsin where they don't have a ton of structure.
Some of them are boring as heck.
Yeah, there's not a lot going on. And what do you do on that? You sort of get on the outside, throw it what break line you got, and bomb it.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you're chasing schools of bait fish around that are suspended. Mm-hmm. You just cast at them or you troll them.
Yeah.
It's just, that's it. There's actually those lakes are a lot more simple than lakes with a ton of structure. Mm-hmm. You just go find this crap that's suspended, cast it or troll it. That's all you got to do.
And that's the thing. I know it. I think I'm pretty positive what Lakey he's talking about. And it is just like line of trollers. Well, everybody getting line, you know, and they're trolling a bunch of the same baits and all that. There's going to be a bite that's missed by all those trollers. There just is. So don't be afraid to sort of get what I would do on that lake is get on the inside of where they're trolling. Right. If they're trolling over the whatever 12-foot line, I'd have my boat at 11 and be thrown to nothing. Get inside of where the trollers are throwing. They're missing fish. You know, that's what I would be doing there. That's my best advice there. Dave says, this is sad. Have another Pepsi, Dave. I was going through old Booker videos, and I cried a little bit because my October trip can't come soon enough. I'm in the musky abyss between trips. My question is, I hear a lot about the littoral zone, but then I hear a lot about fishing deep and suspended fish. We pretty much almost just said that. Are you guys catching these deep suspended fish right next to the best littoral zones? I guess I don't know how to get to the 0 to 12 littoral. I guess I don't know how the 0 to 12 is the littoral zone and best activity spots on the lake, but hear about deep and suspended fish. Tyler, exactly what I'm thinking is there's fish that are in the littoral zone and there's going to be suspended fish and they're going to be deep fish.
I mean, it's just, I catch them in the littoral zone. I catch them next to the littoral zone. And I catch them in the middle of the darn lake.
Yeah. There's going to be fish. They're not all doing the same thing.
I mean, one could be on freaking Mars. They're wacky.
So, you know, if it comes to like casting the littoral zone or checking things off in and around that. Yeah. I mean, I'm not going to just like drive my butt out into the middle of nowhere and be like, I'm in 40 feet of water. It's time to cast. Suspended fish are usually related to, like you just said on the thing, find the bait fish. You know, use your electronics and get out on the open water and cast the bait fish that are there. You know, whether there's a dominant amount of bait fish or they're just spread out. Don't, you know, we're not arbitrarily just going out in open water. But yes, the littoral zone is going to be good. And yes, there will be suspended fish near that. And yes, there's going to be deep fish. So you're going to have a mix of all of that. You got to pick on any given day, what's the best or possibly most productive place to be? You know, that's my thought process is just like, what for the first part of the day before I know it's working, what's the best place to be hitting? You know, is it a cold front? Then I'm going to go and work suspended or deep first, probably. You know, is it a warm front or it's a third day of a warming trend? You better bet I'm going to be up in the shallows. They're all productive areas. And it's like, Tyler, we've laughed about it. Joe said multiple times where it's like, you know, and he said in a musky shot video we did, he said, well, first we're going to start shallow. And then we're going to go to mid depth. And then we're going to fish deep. And then after that, guess what we're going to do? We're going to go eat barbecue. You know? It's just like.
It was a classic JV statement.
It was a classic thing. You got to check it all. But, you know, the best way to target that and what to think about is like, you want to fish those shallow zones and you want to check all that shit out, but you want to make sure that you're mixing up your game plan, right? So don't spend the whole day on suspended fish that might not be there, and don't spend your whole day deep. You've got to sort of do it all. You've got to be willing to, like, I hate to say admit defeat, but we all leave the house and we all leave the dock with a plan in mind. And we're also stubborn that some days we ruin our day by going, I'm going to pound the water until I'm proven right. I know they're on the rocks because the guru said they're on the rocks.
Don't listen to me. I'm stupid.
Well, that's why I don't listen to you. And I recommend no one out there, no one out, don't listen to him. Don't, please don't. But anyway, this is all part of an elaborate ploy.
Don't listen to Steve. He's an idiot.
He's an idiot. Anyway, but, you know, it's just one of these things of, like, you've got to sort of check it all out. Whether it be those deep fish, I might troll that. I might troll for suspended fish. I might troll deep. But check all those out and work it effectively. What I notice more than anything is once we get out of the littoral zone, once we get out of the shallow waters, people feel uncomfortable and they have no clue what to do. It's just it. You know, you go, I got nowhere to go. I got nothing to do. What is this garbage of suspending fish? Why am I doing deep? You've got to integrate these other styles of fishing into each trip so you're getting good at it. It's just like, Tyler, I've talked to you about. I spent years before I could troll. You know, years of casting and casting and casting. And trolling was this foreign thing. But guess what? I had to one day go, I'm going to suck at this for a long time. But if I spend time doing it, I'm going to get better at it. And that's the way I look at fishing deep. Whether it be, dude, one thing I've told you about is jigging. Mean, you've talked about that a bunch, man. I was no good at jigging for a long time. I didn't have any experience doing it, you know. And you look at like John Bondi. Bondi comes out this Bondi bait, and here's this new style of musky fishing, or reinvented, whatever you want to call it. People argue it. Definitely a reinvented way of musky fishing, right? I had no clue what I was doing. You have to like suffer the embarrassment of being bad at something before you can advance to being good at it. And so that's the same thing with deep fishing and suspended fishing. So, you know, you're going to have to go out there over open water and throw baits. And everybody's going to think, man, this guy's fishing all the wrong places. And you're going to catch fish. The one thing I'd say on suspended fish is don't try to fish too deep. You know, just because you're in 30 feet of water doesn't mean you need to fish 20 feet down. These fish off more often than not will be in the upper layer of the water column. But don't limit yourself and do these things as an afterthought. And that's what I told you about trolling, Tyler, in the last few years. And Joe's told you, don't treat trolling as an afterthought. You know, don't leave that as a secondary or a leftover thought of, I can't catch a fish, therefore I will troll. Work on it, work on it, work on it. That's what the same thing with the fish. They're going to be suspended right off the littoral zone. Get comfortable turning the boat around and casting open water. Get comfortable fishing deep fish. Best I've got. Guru, you got any input there, my friend?
Me no.
Two more. Craig says, provide three pieces in bullet form of advice to yourself from what? Provide what? Three pieces. Okay, I see what you're saying. Provide three pieces in bullet form of advice to yourself from your experience that would have helped you. Okay, I see what you're saying. He wants us
like
to
go from yourself.
Listen, yeah, from now, three pieces of information to yourself that you've gotten from experience that you would have wanted to know when you are working on becoming a better musky fisherman. As usual, loves the podcast. So three things you wish you would have known a few years ago or through the course of your musky fishing that you know now. Number one, I'm going to start it. How to effectively troll, period. I spent way too long where I wasn't a good troller. Wasn't confident in it. Didn't feel confident that I knew that I could be good at it. You know, I had a lot of trepidation going, I don't know what I'm doing. I don't have anybody to teach me. You know, and I had to suck it up, better come do it. Number one, trolling. Number two, obviously the slowdown. Everybody knows the half spool sieve. I wish I wasn't in that for a long time because I catch fish that nobody even knows are there. I wish I'd spent a lot more time slowed down. And then three. Probably I'm trying to think of like what is the thing where I go. I wish I focused more on boat control in the early years. Because I feel like I catch a lot. Like, when I catch a fish, it's not the culmination of a presentation. It's usually a culmination of a good bait selection and great boat control. So I wish I'd had better trolling, or I'd been a good troller, or worked on trolling when I was younger. I wish I would have slowed down way earlier in the game, and I wish I would have focused more on boat control. Now, those are things I've worked on. Like he said, I've got down pretty good now, but it took me a lot of time before I really got those locked in and they became important to me. But those are the three that really stand up for me. What are the three things, Ty, that you wish you knew then that you know now?
I wish I knew how to read structure like I do now. Mm-hmm. You know, like where you drive up to something, you immediately go, I know exactly how I'm going to fish that. When I was younger, I just would fish stuff like crap. And it's just the success I've had with that is shocking. I wish I knew that from day one. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. We've caught so much more fish. Fighting fish is the second one.
Yeah.
Learning how to fight fish better. When I was real young, I would have landed some monsters.
Like, how to control the pace of the fight, or just...
Yeah, control the pace of the fight, not be a butthead, and force it. And because they're big fish, they're muscly, they can't... You can't horse... Big fish, you can't horse in.
Mm-hmm.
And then third one is how to properly fish crankbaits.
Yeah.
I was bucktail topwater for many, many, many years. Too long, too long, too long. And now it's like, man, I would have caught so many more fish.
Well, crankbaits are a gateway drug.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean, they just are, because you start with, you know, if you're going to have one crankbait, I'm always going to tell you, start with a shallow rater. But then you go to, whether it be shad wraps and Leos and Salmos and smokers. And, you know, there's so many great crankbaits that all do amazing things. But you got to, like, sort of crack the crankbait code. Which is, like, where we tell everybody, like, dig into the Bible, you know. I mean, whether you like throwing JBO lures or not, Crankbait Secrets is going to get you going, you know, and that's why we're always sort of telling people, you know, how do you start to read Crankbait Secrets? I like that, because you sort of hit on that thing that a lot of people miss, where you go, they own crankbaits, but they only throw topwater and rubber and blades.
They're only crankbait owners. That's all they are.
They're crankbait owners. Anyway... Guru,
we
covered them. What is the contest this week, Guru? What do you got?
I want your best t-shirt design. What I really, really want is a Sasquatch with a man bun and a fanny pack. Fishing for a muskie that
slow
also
down.
Has a man bun.
Is it getting
and a fanny
hot?
Pack.
Is it getting hot in here?
Hot.
Because that's getting hot. So you're telling me you want a shirt with it? Well, how about we just let it... They can make it whatever they want.
If someone does draw and like animate it, make it look real professional, what I want, you're the winner. Like I want that.
Sasquatch goes to the front of the line. So here's the contest: your best or worst t-shirt design. We will add it to the Musky merch section on the app, and you'll be able to buy it. We'll buy you your own t-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta involve Musky 360.
Yep.
Might involve,
gotta have a Musky on it.
Might involve Sasquatch. Might not. Might be the Guru. Might not. What do you got? Your best t-shirt design or worst t-shirt design, send it. We will add it to the store for a limited amount of time so other people can buy it if they think it's cool. And we will send you a shirt of your own design. You're going to have to send like a JPEG or something. Just email it to the app. Send it on over, folks. We'll get it. Guru, that's another Musky 360 podcast. Again, folks, thank you for listening. We appreciate all the support. Guru, take us out with the best advice you got. Maybe a words of wisdom. What do you think?
How do you want me to keep it PG-13, or do you want me to Crazy advice.
The best you got, baby.
Best I got? The guru says, looks like I'm going to have to drink coffee in the morning. There we go.